Good morning. You're listening to WMFO in Medford. My name is Charlie Driver, and this is the season premiere of what I believe is season four of my show, Pop and Circumstance. Slightly different time slot. We used to have Thursday mornings at 7. Now we're on Tuesdays at 7. I hope you're happy to join us on this, the second day of the week. And we're going to start this off with a song for our Deputy Attorney General. Maybe not for long, but we'll see about that. This is Mr. Peepers.
God bless the bureaucrat and the lawyer too. They're public punching bags, but someone's gotta do it. It's not so sexy, the procedure or the truth. I say, God bless the bureaucrat and the lawyer too. House Intelligence Committee piles on. They love to know what Rosenstein has on the ball. But it's just for cameras, yeah, it's just a show of force. We all know he can't comply, but that's the point, of course. So they call him Mr. Peepers as the thugs all smash his glasses, going full Lord of the Flies, burning this island down to ashes. What's a rule of law if we can't agree on what a fact is? There ain't nothing here to see, folks. Move along, move along. Thank God for facts as stubborn things indeed. But little cowboys will try cases on TV. It doesn't make it so because you make believe. You can't lose in court and appeal on Hannity. The distinguished wrestler from Ohio. He's free to lie, he's not the one who's under oath. The law don't suit the boss, this deputy must go. We got him in the locker room, boys, start the show. So they call him Mr. Peepers, and some thugs do smash his glasses. If he's gone and peeped the wrong thing, then they'll burn his name to ashes. What's the rule of law if we can't establish what a fact is? There ain't nothing here to see, folks. Move along, I'll move along. They say it dies in the dark, right now. They're trying to kill it in broad daylight. Can flashlights really fight bombs? We'll see, right now. Christians, right, what would Jesus do? Would he bury crimes and carry water like a stooge? Or smear a family man in case he tells the truth? About the boss, yeah, what would Jesus do? Would he call him Mr. Peepers and some thugs do smash his glasses? Institution standing, but we're trying our best to trash it. Aren't we all the keepers of this fragile young republic? And when all those Mr. Peepers people fall, Lord help us all.
we're back. That was La Luz, with that one a little bit of surf rock, specifically their song Cicada. Before that, we had Ben Folds' most recent release. He was commissioned by the Washington Post to write a song about basically any news story around. And he chose Rod Rosenstein because
the noted hero of the left.
Yeah, in the Michael Wolff book, Fire and Fury, it was reported that President Trump called Rod Rosenstein Mr. Peepers for his small glasses. And Ben Folds was like, I can work with this. And he wrote a very good song that features some banjo, which is not something that you classically hear in a Ben Folds composition. So yeah, that was that before. We're also joined by producer Danny. He's the other voice in the studio.
Hello, hello. Good morning, Vietnam.
Well, that's the error we're going to take on later, but that was a veiled tease to some political comedy we're going to have coming up later, because songs about Rod Rosenstein... What?
You do know how I'm into my veiled teases, Charlie.
Yeah, songs about Rod Rosenstein aren't good enough for us. We're going a deep dive back to the Johnson administration in a little while.
Cuts so deep, you'll need vinyl to hear them.
Yeah, breaking out some of the WMFO vinyl, which is one of the least curated vinyl radio things that you could probably ever hope for, or at least in the show tunes and comedy sections, which are sort of just hodgepodges of everything, including two copies of Grease. Actually, I noticed we have two copies of the original motion picture soundtrack of Grease, none of the original Broadway cast. But we're actually not gonna bother with Grease for our show tunes today. I have two vinyl recordings coming up. I'm going to remind myself how to set this all up. And so we're going to listen to something from a different cast album first, which I am just drawing up now. It's going to be some Jason Robert Brown. Dan, you know Jason Robert Brown?
He's my father.
He's not.
Oh.
We're going to be listening to How Can I Call This Home? And that's what's coming at you right now.
Da, 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 da. We honor those who honored us some 50 years ago. Those who gave life and limb for Georgia and suffered unimaginable degradation, but never defeat. The men of Georgia and the women of Georgia have never
I go
been
to bed
defeated.
At night, hoping when I wake, this will all be gone like it was just a dream, and I'll be home again, back again. In Brooklyn, back with people who look like I do, and talk like I do, and think like I do. But then the sun rises in Atlanta again.
They have risen from the ashes of war with honor and courage.
These people make me tense. I live in fear they'll start a conversation. These people make no sense. They talk and I just stare and shut my mouth. It's like a foreign land. I didn't understand that being Southern's not just being in the South. When I look out on all this, how can I call this home?
I am proud to be a journalist.
These men belong in zoos.
Sorry.
It's like they've never joined civilization.
The
Jews are not like Jews. I thought that Jews were Jews, but I was wrong. I thought I would be fine, but 4 years down the line, with every word it's very clear I don't belong. I don't cuss, I don't draw, so how can I call this home? And I'm free of the southern breeze, free of magnolia trees and endless sunshine. Evermore lives the dream of Atlanta, but not mine, not mine. A Yankee with a college education, by his own design, is trapped inside the land that time forgot. I'm trapped inside this life, and trapped beside a wife who would prefer that I said howdy, not shalom. Well, I'm sorry, Lucille, but But I feel what I feel, and this place is real. So how can I call this home?
After your show tonight, Miss Adler, I shall ask you to play an extra performance with me. We shall appear as members of the lower class and journey through the underworld of London.
Daisy!
Yes, Mum?
What shall I wear?
The red, Mum?
No.
The blue?
No, that's hopeless.
What about the mauve, Mum?
What?
The mauve with the bustle.
Gorgeous. On you.
What? With my derriere?
I've simply got nothing to wear. I was mad to say yes, but I'm glad nonetheless. What a night this is going to be. There's the scent, there's the hum of adventure to come. What a night this is going to be. Tonight's a night that's fraught with excitement. Tonight is a night meant for me. For tonight I'm with him. Win or lose, sink or swim. In or out, wrong or right, what a night this is going to be.
Watson.
Yes?
How do I look?
Dreadful.
Good. Eyebrows?
Eyebrows?
Yes or no?
Well, I wouldn't.
Then I should. So it's off to the hunt in a few minutes' time. What a night this is going to be. Now at last I confront that Napoleon of crime. What a night this is going to be. Tonight there'll be an intimate party for just Moriarty and me. And Miss Adler, of course. Perhaps I should feel remorse, for she can't know just quite what a night this is going to be.
Somehow it is strange I'm not afraid of all the dangers of tonight.
Oh, ma'am, I know you wait. But as for me, I feel I'm going to faint.
Compared to what's in store, no, all the rules I played before now seem so
trite. It's just about complete.
By Jove, you look a treat.
Just to think that he puts his trust in me.
Puts her trust in me.
Who can know how it may go together?
I was mad to say yes, but I'm glad. What a night this is going to be. There's gonna be skullduggery before the night is done.
There's a dash, there's a dash, there's an air everywhere. What a night this is going to be. Just don't let your mind, Miss Adler, I was shy. I swear I'm so beside myself, I think I'm going to cry. Tonight's a night that's fraught with excitement. Tonight is a night meant for me.
So it's on with the case.
And there's no time to spare.
So it's off to the chase.
Oh, Miss Adler, take care.
Come on, babe, come on, fight. What a night this is going to be.
From this time forth, you are Mrs. Brasser Bites of Bethnal Green. Is that perfectly clear?
As clear as a pineless window, love. And speaking of draughts, I feel a bit of a chill in the air. So if I holds on like a sailor's girl, it's warmth, not intimacy, I'm seeking, mind, love.
Your A's are a trifle flat.
Hello, ducks.
Hello, sweet. My, you do look at sweet.
What?
Do you recall that windy little beach we walked along that afternoon in fall? That afternoon we met a fellow with a concertina sang. What was the song? It's strange what we recall, and odd what we forget. I heard la da 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 as we walked on the sand. I heard la da da da. I believe it was early September. Through the crash of the waves, I could tell that the words were romantic. Something about sharing, something about always. Though the years race along, I still think of our song on the sand. And I still try and search for the words I can barely remember. Though the time tumbles by, there is one thing that I am forever certain of. I hear la da 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 da. And I'm young and in love. I believe it was early September. Through the crash of the waves, I could tell that the words were romantic. Something about sharing, something about always. Though the years race along, I still think of our song on the sand. And I still try and search for the words I can barely remember. Though the time tumbles by, there is one thing that I am forever certain of. I hear la-da-da-da.
Tradition and toil. When you look, can you tell that this bit of a shell is the original shell for which I named Shell Oil?
I get off a train in town a few hours. Pop out of the box, I'm smelling like flowers. How far will it go? Whoever can tell. I already own the Shell Oil shell. It's just like in that movie with Toby Wing and Buddy Rogers. Broadway Melody. She got him and he got her. He obviously see something in me. Amazing how quick two people can click. Hey, why not say, why not, who can tell? I could just wind up being Sugar Shell. I'll admit that from where I sit, it's touch and go. Not easy, although impossible, no! just like that, I might be sugar shell.
She obviously sees something in me. Amazing how quick two people can click. From where I sit, it's touch and go. Not easy or low. Impossible, no. Imagine her traveling with a swell, and such a little fish among the shells. American dreams, don't take them lightly. Just like that, she might.
That was Hey Why Not from the Some Like It Hot adaptation Sugar by Jule Stein and Bob Merrill. I did that one freshman year of high school. It's a very good musical. Kind of the last of the major, well, not major, but the last of the Golden Age musicals. And at that point, they realized that Sondheim had taken over and that there wasn't really any room to move. Before that, we had the Broadway cast of La Cage aux Folles. That was Song of the Seine, La Da Da. That's some Kelsey Grammer coming at you. Before that, we had the original cast of the musical Baker Street with What a Night This Is Going to Be. That's the opener of that musical. And before that, we had Jason Robert Brown's musical about Atlanta and anti-Semitism. In the American South Parade, that was How Can I Call This Home? So that concludes our little foray into musical theater for now, and we're going to stick in the performing arts in some capacity, not necessarily in music. Danny, you want to talk to us about what we have coming up next after a PSA?
Yes, so this PSA is really close to me because one time I went to a house party. If you're thinking of throwing a house party and you're part of the Medford and Somerville communities, it's imperative that you're a responsible host. As a host, you can help maintain community relations by controlling the noise and behavior of your guests. It's also important to provide snacks and non-alcoholic beverages for your guests, and to remind guests to alternate alcoholic and non-alcoholic beverages. Finally, it's illegal to provide alcohol to individuals that are under 21 years old. Such behavior can lead to a fine of up to $2,000, as well as up to a year in jail. This message was brought to you by Somerville Cares About Prevention. Find us online on Facebook, Twitter, and www.somervillema.gov/SCAP.
Love a good house party.
I do.
You know who else loves a good house party?
I do not.
Potential Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh.
Well, he had most of his partying days, all can agree, back in the 80s, and it doesn't seem like he left it there.
Yeah, I've been thinking a lot about this issue.
Have you?
Obvious reasons. But did you read the yearbook article in the Times?
The yearbook article? Yes, it's a bit raucous.
I'm just surprised they had so much leeway for that yearbook to sort of print those things.
Like, I mean, I listened to his interview on Fox News last night, and he said that he really only cared about a couple things in high school. He cared about academics, he cared about his integrity, he cared about going to church, and he named his church, so he must really have practiced his script.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he really cared about his friendship, and he said that three times in the same.
And that's why he was elected to be treasurer of the Keg Club.
He was the Keg City Club.
Oh, true, the Keg
the
City
KCC.
Club. All right, so we're going to jump back now from 2018, going on 50 years.
Going over 50 years, even.
Out
67.
Yeah, the 1967 recording by Earl Dowd and Alan Robin. That is a selection of interviews with major political figures of the era. And the album, Danny, is called...
The album is called Lyndon Johnson's Lonely Hearts Club Band, the first edition of our on-again, off-again, temporary, on-a-whim series.
1960s and 1970s political impressions on vinyl.
Yes, indeed. Coming up in the future, we may be listening to the audio stylings of one Orson Welles.
Well, that's less of an impression than an oratory. We're going to be going through probably two or three interviews here. We're going to definitely do President Lyndon B. Johnson, followed up by President Ronald Reagan. So I'm just going to get this started now.
Governor Ronald Reagan.
And we'll listen to some interviews, unless this vinyl has warped horribly since 1967, but we'll see about that. All right, once again, Lyndon Johnson's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
See you on the other side.
As President of the United States, we appreciate your taking time out to talk with us.
I'll be glad to take any questions that you may have to ask.
Well, there is a small element of rabble-rousing, narrow-minded people who think you are the worst president this country has ever had.
Well, I'm inclined to agree with some of those people.
tell us, is there any chance that you'll improve?
I don't want to hold out any hopes for you that I don't have myself.
If we can get to something of a more personal nature, you were seen kissing Lady Bird on the White House steps yesterday.
I don't expect to do that every week.
You entertain lavishly at the White House, but I wonder, do you still put your good silverware out when the Kennedys come to dinner?
As far as we can see, they haven't taken any yet.
We understand that because of prior commitments, Lady Bird will be unable to attend the White House ball next month. Who are you considering taking in her place?
I'm asking Secretary McNamara.
You've been on intimate terms with General Eisenhower for these many years. You've lived with him, you've walked with him, you've talked with him. What do you think of him?
We've been wasting a lot of money on West Point all these years.
Is it true that last month you offered George Hamilton $5,000 to marry your daughter, Linda Bird?
This month it's $3,000.
You must know young Hamilton quite well by now, having seen him around the White House so often. Have you developed any nickname for him?
Sweet Potato.
We know your time is valuable, sir. We'd like to thank you for being with us today. Do you have any final word you'd like to leave with us?
You never had it so good.
Thank you. We're delighted to welcome the former movie star and newly elected Governor of California to our microphones. To begin with, sir, will your administration take cognizance of the alarmingly rapid growth of free love on the campuses at Berkeley and elsewhere?
But that tradition in California would be preserved under us.
Is there any reason why you didn't attend the meeting of newly elected Republican governors held in Chicago last week?
I can't think of anything that would have prompted me to go.
Incidentally, apropos of the meetings, I understand there's a nudist convention in your state this week.
That's the meeting that I expect to attend.
You are considered to be a very open-minded man, Governor, who doesn't hold grudges.
I sure am.
Incidentally, sir, Where would you like to see those who opposed your election as governor?
Put into cement.
One thing we're curious about, Governor. Could you tell us who was your political mentor?
The Kaiser.
Well, now that you are governor, what do you really intend doing for the people of California?
I have no intention of lifting a finger doing anything.
Is there any specific reason why you are closing down all the houses of prostitution in California?
To see if we could not switch to the voluntary system.
As governor, you are interested in the critical social problems of your state. What have you found to be the best way to get prostitutes off the street?
Bring them home.
Governor, you've been very cooperative. May we just ask you one more quick question or two?
No, go away.
Well, thank you and good night.
That didn't particularly sound like Ronald Reagan at the end there. That sounded a little like sort of a text-to-speech thing when it said, no, go away.
I don't know if they had text-to-speech in 67.
No, I don't think they did. What did you think of that, Danny? It turns out it wasn't impressions. We didn't realize it was a recut of presidential
audio recordings.
We're still going to play one more. I'm just throwing it over to Daniel while I flip the
record.
Yeah,
so the way that this works with these comedy recordings is, for the most part, we don't know what's going to play. In fact, some of the tracks we'd like to play, we can't play because they say things that they shouldn't say. For this one, we really didn't know what we were going into here. We really thought there would be impressions. And, you know, that's why we're going to go over to Tricky Dick himself for the next segment.
Yeah, we're going to play through two, actually, this time. We're also going to play through the fourth recording on the second side, which is one Arizona Senator, Barry Goldwater, who was defeated in the 1964 presidential election.
Incidentally, he's listed in personnel on this album as the guy who snaps his garters on A Little Help From My Friends. Remember, we're listening to Lyndon Johnson's Lonely Hearts Club Band, presented by Earl Dowd and Alan Robin. Charles?
Yep, here goes nothing. This one is Richard Nixon.
We would like to welcome to our microphones the last Republican vice president and a leading candidate for the Republican nomination in 1968. You're known to be a very modest man. Just how would you characterize yourself?
The best vice president that the country had ever had.
It's no secret that you've irritated the president by speaking out against him so often, to a point where LBJ says, you should keep your mouth shut, even in your own living room.
I'm going to speak up. I don't care what Lyndon Johnson says.
On the other hand, in calmer moments, LBJ has said that you are a great friend and a fine politician.
He isn't going to get away with that with me.
You've reached a point in your career where you might stop and take stock. Exactly what have you spent most of your political life trying to discover?
What President Eisenhower's been talking about.
We were speaking of Eisenhower. How many hairs does he have left on his head?
I would say two.
You've been in politics all your life. Now, when you wake up in the morning and look in the mirror, what's the first thing you think?
I'm just not going to do.
Incidentally, me, why do we always see you at the corner phone booth on 42nd Street and Madison Avenue?
I have no office.
You were seen in the operating room when LBJ was undergoing surgery. What was it you said to the doctor?
Cut and run.
We understand you do a marvelous impression of General Eisenhower. Would you care to do some of it for us here tonight?
Let me point this out. But I believe this. I would say this. What I am saying is this. Let me point this out. Now, let me make it absolutely clear. Now, how did this come about? Now, let me say this. I say, and I would also...
You're a history buff. Is it your opinion that the Battle of Gettysburg won the Civil War for the North?
It is a little too early to tell.
You've been to a barbecue at the LBJ Ranch. What do LBJ and Lady Bird eat with?
Their noses in the trough.
Sir, we'd like to thank you for being here with us tonight. You are Barry Goldwater, are you not?
Unfortunately.
Would you give us your personal view of the 1964 presidential election?
I figure we lost.
Do you think you were the most incompetent man to ever run for the presidency?
Yes, I do. Frankly.
Incidentally, what did you think of World War II, Senator?
Well, I wouldn't want to pass any judgment till I have time to read more about it.
And you have no opinion, sir?
I only found out about it as I came in the studio.
Who has the Republican Party chosen to jump nude out of the cake at the Republican convention next year, sir?
As of the moment, as of right now, I think the party's choice would be Dick Nixon.
Sir, you're uptight in Washington circles. What are Humphrey and Lady Bird to the president?
Two pretty good strikes against him.
Speaking of Vice President Humphrey, during his recent tour of Europe, did he, in your opinion, alienate any of our allies?
7 countries in 7 days.
Staying with personalities in the news, can you tell us where the next meeting of the Richard Nixon Fan Club will be held?
In a telephone booth.
Final question. When LBJ is swimming in the White House pool and the stopper breaks, what happens?
I think Hubert is used.
Thank you and good night.
We now return to our regularly scheduled programming.
This content's so fresh, it still works today.
That's not what I wanted. Now we do.
sang out of tune, would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song, and I'll try not to sing.
The Beatles, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, / With a Little Help from My Friends, off of the album of the same title, specifically Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, not the other part. You know, that's from 1967 as well.
Yes, it is. I remember it well.
That was when you were born?
No, I was born in 63.
Oh, yeah. I always forget that. That's how you were, you know, on the ground in Vietnam.
I did kindergarten multiple times. And no, I was in Vietnam, but I wasn't fighting. I was more of a cheerleader.
All right, then. It's pretty cold, Danny.
No, it's really not.
Well, in terms of what we've been having recently, before
yes,
it got colder.
The weather has been...
Comparatively, it is cooler outside.
Indeed.
Is what I am saying.
Which is a great crossover to our next song.
Yeah, you want to warm up with some jazz?
I'd love to, Charlie.
All right, we're going to play some tropical jazz here. This one's a great track by Wayne Shorter.
Staying on theme.
Oh,
That was Ponte de Araya, or some pronunciation of that, by Wayne Shorter. That's off of his album Native Dancer from 1976. Danny, you feel warmer as a result of some tropical jazz?
At least 3.5 degrees.
Celsius or Fahrenheit?
Kelvin. Deep cuts only.
I see. So, not that much is what you're saying.
Oh, I wouldn't know. I'm an English major.
Oh, okay. So we're going to warm you up with this next track. That's going to be our final track of the day. It'll take us through to 8 a.m., which is when we check out here, and I don't think anyone else checks in. That's very tonally different to what I'm going to play, Danny.
You said the final countdown.
That's true. So I am going to play a song by Sons of Kemet off of their recent album, Your Queen is a Reptile, which is a jazz album that tries to challenge ideas of the British monarchy. Every song begins with "My queen is," and then includes someone from the African diaspora who has worked for positive change. That includes Harriet Tubman, or Ada Eastman, or some other names that I'm not as literate on. But it was recently nominated for the Mercury Prize in Britain, which is for the best album of the year. That usually doesn't include jazz artists, so this is a major coup for the South London group, which is two drummers, a tuba player, and saxophonist Shabaka Hutchings, who's the leader, and is one of the rising stars, if not the biggest star, in the South London jazz scene, which is having a moment right now. And they're actually playing tonight at Brighton Music Hall at, I believe, 8 p.m. So that's exciting. I think tickets are still available, and it's only like $15. I'm going. I'm very excited.
He will be holding a meet and greet, Charlie, that is, at the conclusion of the show.
Yeah. So we're gonna end out our first show here, a very tonally sort of
eclectic.
Dynamic, eclectic show. It does say eclectic in my music description, so there's at least that. But we're going to close it out with the song My Queen is Angela Davis off of the Sons of Kemet album from this spring, Your Queen is a Reptile. For producer Danny Nelson, I'm Charlie Driver. We'll be back with you next Tuesday at 7 a.m. for more Pop and Circumstance. Thanks for tuning in. Here's some jazz.
See you then. We'll be right back.